One wet summer in Arizona is not going to be nearly enough to reverse the effects of the decades-long drought the region is facing, but there has been some incremental improvement. On June 1st, the U.S. Drought Monitor characterized at least half the state as experiencing exceptional drought, the worst condition possible on the scale. As of August 17th, only one patch in northeastern Arizona was in the exceptional drought category, and southeastern Arizona, which had been in the exceptional drought category on June 1st, had moved into the moderate drought category, a dramatic difference. Mike Crimmins of the U of A's Department of Environmental Science took part in a Southwest drought briefing on Tuesday and is with me to talk about some of his findings. Mike, before we get to the impact of this summer's rain, how long has this current extended drought been going?
Yeah, when we talk about, especially when we're worried about watching levels in Lake Powell and Lake Mead, we really got to go back to about the late 90s. And we were had levels in those reservoirs that were pretty high at the end of the 90s. And then we had the 2002 drought hit. And then we've seen subsequent years where we've had pretty poor winters, a couple of bad summers that have really led to the really sharp declines in a lot of our water resources across the state.
How does this compare historically to other droughts we've seen in this region over the centuries?
So if we have tree ring reconstructions that we can actually look at into the deep past, looking at precipitation. And we've got some colleagues here at University of Arizona who've reconstructed stream flows back hundreds of years. And so we do see the more recent drought as being a pretty extreme drought. Maybe not the worst on record, but certainly in the ranking there as far as some of the worst droughts we've seen. There's been some other studies that have come out and have started to look at temperatures on top of that. And there was a more recent paper that has been kind of using the term mega drought. And so this more recent drought since the late 90s is the worst in over 1,000 years when we have that added element of it being warmer now and these recent dry conditions.
This has been a much wetter summer than most of late here in Arizona. We know it is just the summer, but even in the Phoenix area, we've been getting what we would call certainly significant amounts of rain. We know that doesn't really, when it's a drought like this, I imagine the dent it's making is about as tiny as can be. But how much of a difference can this sort of lead off if this were to lead to a wet winter, more snowpack, and then signaling a wetter monsoon? How much can something like this make a difference? Or is it just basically a drop in the bucket, to coin a phrase?
Well, I like to think of droughts as different flavors, and we have different flavors of drought, especially down here in the Southwest. So when the precipitation falls, is it on time and how much is really part of the equation. So when we think about short-term drought, so we didn't have the precip show up last summer, impacts were pretty immediate. You know, the fire season lingered into August. We had impacts to vegetation. Some springs dried up. Now we've had this record wet conditions in July, and things can turn around really, really quickly when we're talking about short-term drought conditions. We can fill up the soil again. Plants will respond really quickly. We'll start to see some of those springs flow again. But when we back up and we start thinking about longer-term drought situations like we were just talking about, which is since the late 90s, you know, on average, less precip in this season and that season, that's kind of a different kind of drought. So if it takes you a long time to get into it, it really does take a while to get out of it. So this summer could be part of the solution. If we can put together, you know, decent precipitation next winter, then next summer, and then even into the next couple of years.
How far out is the modeling that you guys in this business do?
Yeah, so we look at the official forecasts come out from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the Climate Prediction Center. The Climate Prediction Center issues forecasts for 3-month periods. They do this every month, and they go out for 13 months. So we can look out till actually next summer, but what you'll often find is that there really isn't a forecast. So it gives us a probability of either being near average, below average, or above average. And most of the time it's you know, could be any of those outcomes, which is no forecast. So the only thing we have to hold on to here is whether or not we have an El Nino or a La Nina event showing up in the summer for next winter. And that's probably our most useful forecast we can look at. So right now we're tracking conditions across the Pacific, looking at the El Nino Southern Oscillation. We do see a weak La Nina event that has been kind of hanging out there. We had a La Nina winter last year, which probably was a big explanation for our dry winter. Probably will reemerge this fall, so it's probably going to give us a lean towards drier than average conditions for the upcoming winter.
And does that look similar in affecting
all the parts we would consider of the Southwest, whether it's Utah, Colorado, California?
No, so it actually, it's the that signal is strongest across southern Arizona and southern New Mexico, and it gets weaker as you go to the upper Colorado River Basin. So we don't actually have a good handle on what the snowpack might look like for next winter. So that, I mean, that could leave some optimism that we start to, we have a good winter next winter, and then that that puts down good snow, and then that, that stream flow will be at least average next year. But it can't get any worse than what we've seen this year, quite honestly. It's, I think it's the third lowest stream flow they're tracking right now into the reservoirs. So we're kind of looking up. Now, having this wet summer is replenishing the soil moisture, which if we can hang on to this in the fall, that actually helps the stream flows, that any snowfall that occurs on top of those wet soils is more readily runs off into those reservoirs next spring.
We are still seeing, as the latest census numbers indicate, a growth in population in Maricopa County. Certainly that applies a little bit to the state overall as well. When it comes to drought, when it comes to whether we have wet winters or a good monsoon or whatnot, the more people living here, that is just more likely to use more water and more energy, et cetera. How much can that complicate things going forward?
I think what you're getting at is, are we ready for this? We've been trying to get ready. And I'm thinking, you know, more particularly about the impacts on the river and the shortages and the cutbacks we're seeing right now. We've been talking about it for a long time. There have been a lot of plans in place. And I think that you're now seeing the plans in action. And so now we get to figure out if these plans are actually going to work. And I think some of them are pretty good. Some we're figuring out on the fly. And we have a, we've known this for a long time, but we have sort of a systemic problem with water availability here in the Southwest. So this is just making it kind of more present and something that we can't sort of sidestep around or kick down the road anymore, which I think is a good thing. It makes us, forces us into action and being really practical about, you know, the, what the next five to 10 years look like here in Arizona.
That is Mike Crimmins, Associate Professor of Climate Science at the U of A.